Welcome to another edition of the weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, my main man, my partner, and figuring out what daily plays to give you guys, Joe Matz, looking like he's coming from a bunker somewhere. And how cold is it up there right now, Joe?
You're all right? Too cold for me, man, as a former Arizonan. I'm going to look it up right now. It feels fucking cold, I'll tell you that much.
I'm a Georgia boy, dude. Anything below 50, I'm not happy.
Yeah, it is currently 43 degrees at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it was 81 in Atlanta today, and it's like 70 right now. So, as I tell people, the South is awesome. I know it's got a lot of reasons that it's not, but there's a lot of reasons, including the weather, that it is. We're coming off another good week. I hate that I posted on Twitter and also in the IBS All-Star group my favorite low tier plays, which Tony and Harris both did as much as you possibly could. I loved your Seals Jones pick, which I just stole, but we're going to be previewing week six today. Real quickly before we start, just want to remind everyone the IB Sports Podcast Network is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. We would greatly appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, review, and share the litany of podcasts that we put out weekly covering NFL, pop culture, wrestling, you name it. So we'd appreciate that. But just like every week, we'll be giving high tier, medium tier, low tier each at each position and trying to help you fill out your lineups. Because we're recording on Thursday, there will be no Thursday night plays, but we both want to get on the record. We would have loved Devontae Smith, right? Zach Ertz and Fournette were the three games or guys from this game that I really liked.
Yeah, all in on Smith right now. His target share, his air yard share, it's all high. And obviously, we've told people what to do against the Bucs this year.
So. Absolutely. You're going to hear several other bad secondaries I'm going to be picking on. But let's get right off with the quarterbacks. Justin Herbert, 7,300 at Baltimore, is my top tier. If you watch Carson Wentz on Monday night throw for 400 yards versus his Baltimore secondary, or if week one on Monday night you watch Derek Carr throw for over 400 yards on this Baltimore secondary, I was curious, what is Herbert going to cost me to get at this defense, especially one that still is pretty good against the run? And to see 7,300, man, I'm smiling ear to ear. I do think Josh Allen is a better play this week, but, I mean, not for $900 more. Herbert's $900 cheaper. After the first 2 weeks, where if you remember on the week three preview when I picked Herbert, I said it was really unlucky that Herbert had not broke out yet. It was between drops, turnovers. They just weren't scoring touchdowns. Well, they've solved that. He's thrown 11 touchdowns in his last 3 weeks to zero interceptions. Against some good defenses. Kansas City's not a good defense, but the other two are good defenses. He's averaging almost 33 points a game. His lowest performance in that stretch was versus Oakland, which, if you remember, they were up big the entire game. He's averaging 40 throws per game. The throws for some of these guys per game is just unbelievable. 300 yards per. Most surprising here, again, is the price. Kyler Murray is averaging less points. He's $600 more. Mahomes is only averaging 1.5 points more per game. He's 1,000 more, and he's only topped 30 points once since week one, where he had a monster game. He's had two monster games, which is why he's averaging more. Rodgers and Dak are 8 and 5 points less per game, and they're 100 and 200 less. And they've just proven that both of those teams are way more balanced than the Chargers are. Chargers are going to throw. They're going to throw first, and then they're going to run second. And I just think the Ravens are going to score. They are, again, a running team, and we've seen what's happened when you can run on the Chargers. You can score. Their defense is still good against the run. So, again, if you're telling me Herbert's going to throw 40 times, which I think he will, he's going to get multiple touchdowns, he's going to push 30 points, and at 7,300, sign me up.
Yeah. If we ever want to go back and look at our best and worst offseason predictions, my Justin Herbert regression prediction.
Right.
He's looking absolutely terrible. He looks phenomenal. Yeah, I have no qualms with that pick at all. And I'm, in fact, just going to stick with the same game, but go on the other side, and that's Lamar Jackson for 7,400. So he's $100 more. I don't think you can go wrong with either guy here. I think it's pretty much a 50-50 pick. However, whatever your gut tells you. Right now, only Derrick Henry is averaging more than Jackson's 29.2 points on DraftKings. And that makes sense because what he's doing right now is truly historic. At his current pace, he would throw for over 4,800 yards while running for nearly 1,100. And that would be if we were still in a 16-game season. So right now, Lamar Jackson, the guy who didn't even throw for 3,000 yards in 15 games last year, is on pace to break 5,000 yards this season. Only Brady, Carr, Stafford, and Herbert have thrown for more yards, and all of them have had more attempts. And we're getting him at only 7,400, which, again, that's almost a grand less than Mahomes. It's a lot less than Allen. Granted, I'm not going to tell you don't have Mahomes and Allen at the top this week if you have the money because they're facing Washington and Tennessee. But the point is, this is a very reasonable amount for the number two score on DraftKings right now. Yes, the Chargers defense, as I mentioned before, this is a defense that's usually built to stop the pass. They're ninth on DraftKings against QBs. They're 11th in DVOA against the pass. But I mean, Jackson's the rare QB where I'm not overly concerned about that because his running makes up for that.
He's their best running back by a lot.
Yeah, his floor is so exceedingly high. He's scored at least 20 every week. And as you just detailed, Keith, there's good reason to think LA is going to put up some points on the board here. So that just means the ball is going to be even more in Lamar Jackson's hands. So sign me up for that.
Yeah, maybe what's most impressive, they went out and took a first round and I believe a third or fourth round wide receiver. Neither has produced anything. Yeah. Wallace hasn't made it onto the field. Bateman obviously got hurt. I think he's still going to be why he's going to get better as the year goes on. But yeah, I mean, just again, Lamar deserves all the credit. He's looked great. And Baltimore deserves credit for, you know, slowly building an offense around him, even while people questioned it when it looked kind of rough at times last year. Sam Darnold's my mid-tier. This is probably my riskiest play at quarterback this week. But, I mean, he finally had a really bad game last week. I mean, it was awful. He scored 9 points. But in his previous four, he was averaging 25 points plus. It appears McCaffrey is heading in the direction of playing this week. I think that hurts Darnold's ceiling, but I think it helps his floor tremendously. And that's what you're looking for at 6,100 is I expect Darnold to score around 20 points against this Minnesota defense. And, you know, Carolina's D has been slightly exposed. I'm actually really interested to see what they do against Minnesota, even with their offensive woes the last couple of weeks. Again, if they get cooked back, I think they'll get rolling again. That's really the main reason their offenses look so bad the last couple of weeks. But I think Minnesota's going to score enough to where, again, Carolina's going to have to keep that foot on the pedal. You're not going to see McCaffrey if he comes back, at least I hope not, as a fantasy owner of him, run it 30, 40 times, which means, again, Darnold's going to have to throw, but he's got arguably, you know, his best receiving option. I mean, don't forget McCaffrey will put up, you know, 8 receptions for 100 yards all the time and a touchdown. So I just think that Darnold at 6,100 is a decent price. And I really do think this is a game that I've looked at the over under and what people are saying. I know the trends lately are showing these offenses are struggling, but I think that this is going to end up being one of the surprising higher scoring games. And I'm not going to shy away from taking players on either team.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game where I would say it's a hard one for me to predict because there's skill on both sides here. I will say, I think DJ Moore is going to be a really he didn't quite make my receiver choice. He was right up there. He's going to be a problem for that Minnesota defense. And if your top receiver is going to be a problem, that usually means the QB is going to do all right. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Darnold has, you know, he throws a pick, but he also throws for two. I mean, this year, shit. He's so likely to run for one, apparently.
So, 5 rushing touchdowns.
Maybe that goes down with McCaffrey back, or maybe that just means they get even harder to defend near the goal line, and it's even easier for Darnold. So,
as I say, 3 of them were with McCaffrey, so.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go. Don't shy away from Sam Darnold, rushing touchdown machine. My middle tier, probably not a surprise, because I feel like he finds his way on here like every week. That's Joe Burrow, 6,300 at one of our favorite teams, the Detroit Lions. A couple of picks last week prevented Burrow from having the big week that I was hoping for when I also picked him. But he threw multiple scores, which makes him a perfect 5 for 5 this year in accomplishing multiple passing touchdowns in a game. He's completing 72% of his passes for nearly 9 yards per attempt. I mean, basically, once you get below Stafford at 6,700, there's not another QB who's playing at the level that Joe Burrow is playing at. And again, T. Higgins just came back last week. He converted a key 2-point conversion. So he's getting work with all these wide receivers. And then Detroit, 27th in passing defense DVOA, allowing 10 yards per attempt. And they don't have a cornerback ranked in PFF's top 100 corners. Again, there's 32 teams. So the other 31 teams on average have three cornerbacks better than anyone on the Detroit Lions.
And I know so, that we're into playing, you know, nickel and dime a lot, but I mean, Jesus, that's awful. That's a great stat. And it being in a dome, right? That's got to help with these weapons.
Oh, can't hurt. I mean, I don't know if there's a Bengal I don't like this week. Only two of them made it onto my list, but.
Because I will tell you, in college, when Burrow was in a dome, forget about it. Like him and Chase in a dome, like I'm actually going to have to maybe change some lineups thinking about that. Because I'm going to have to go back and look. I don't even know if he's played in a dome yet in the NFL because of his injury last year. So I'm going to look that up. Trust me. We may get a bonus stat on the Ivy Sports page or on my Twitter page. Mac Jones, my low tier, 5,200 versus Dallas. Dallas proved a lot of things last week, that they're one of the best teams in football. I think they have the best balanced offense in the NFL. Their defense is legit with playmakers at multiple levels. They keep causing turnovers, but you can throw on them. It's a lot of at times a bend but don't break. Mike Glennon threw for nearly 200 yards just in the second half last week. Mac Jones, in my opinion, is due for a breakout game. He's averaging almost 15 points per game. His numbers are not better because New England is just not scoring enough points. I like that Henry has now 2 weeks in a row gotten more involved in the passing game. I feel like obviously Dallas is going to score a lot. I know New England tends to, you know, be a really tough out, you know, especially at home. But I don't see this as a very good matchup for New England. I would not be scared of playing just about any Dallas player, whether that be Dak, Elliott. So I just think it's going to be a situation where Mac is going to have to throw. His two best individual scoring performances so far have been in that situation, like last week where he gets down early and is forced to just throw. And again, Dallas gives up points, especially when they get big leads. They did it to Philly where Hurts scored almost all of his points in the fourth quarter. They did it to Carolina where DJ Moore and Darnold ended up, I mean, really having big games just because they were scoring points. And again, this is a game Cowboys almost won by 10 points. And then again to the Giants last week where they got up big. The Giants made it, you know, closer than it actually was after all the injuries. So I just think that, again, a lot of points are going to be scored. This is probably one of the top five scoring games this week. I actually think it could turn into a track meet. Mac Jones is due to have a really good game. I mean, I really do feel like that New England has not yet opened him up. He can throw the ball down the field. They have some guys that can catch balls down the field. They're just not doing it yet. And I feel like you're going to see them slowly ramp up to that. I think Stevenson's going to play more for New England this week, which will only help him because he's a much better pass catching back. I really do like Mac Jones at 5,200.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, with Dallas, it's just they're gonna almost impossible to stop right now. As long as Dak and the O-line are healthy, they're gonna score at will against most teams. And you know, again, this is another pick where I'll be surprised if Mac Jones doesn't turn the ball over in this game, but I also won't be surprised if he throws for 280 yards and two scores to go with it. Because of the exact reasons that you detailed. You know, like, yeah, Dallas is, they're not quite in that Tampa Bay range where it's just like automatic that you want to go against them with some receivers or QBs, but there's a lot of opportunity there.
And I do like pairing him with Henry, where you get a pretty solid receiving option, a quarterback I think is going to do well, and it's like 8,600. You can't beat that. Or maybe it's 9,100, something like that. It's not much.
Yeah, something cheap. My low tier is not quite as low tier. It's Taylor Heinicke, 5,800 versus Kansas City.
When in doubt, pick against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and Heinicke is kind of this year's bad at real football, good at fantasy football guy, at least until Fitzpatrick comes back. And at that point, maybe Fitzpatrick will fill that role. We'll see how he looks. But Heinicke's erratic. He's overly aggressive. But when you have the right opponent, the former doesn't matter as much, and the latter becomes a positive. His first three starts, that was largely the case. He was racking up points. Even if his accuracy was a little all over the place, he had eight total touchdowns to four turnovers those first three games that he started. Last week was a rough go against New Orleans. He didn't even complete half of his passes, unless you count the two that the Saints caught. But the good news, not playing the Saints this week. There's no Marshon Lattimore to shadow Terry McLaurin. Kansas City's 28th in passing yards allowed, 31st in passing DVOA defense, dead last in fantasy points allowed to QBs. So this is the perfect opportunity for Heinicke to rebound. And, you know, obviously similar reasoning to what you just said with Mac Jones. I do not expect Washington, unless they revert back to the very best versions of themselves from last year.
Oh, they're getting smoked.
They're not going to be stopping this Kansas City defense or offense very much. Which means we're going to see a Heinicke rolling around, getting outside the pocket, throwing the ball 40-plus times. And he also has some ability to run. So I'll be surprised if he's not at least approaching 20 points. And he could easily be going over that at only 5,800.
Yeah, go back and look at Jalen Hurts' line against this Kansas City team. I can see Heinicke's being very similar. He had a huge game. Moving on to the running backs. I love this play. I'm kind of shocked he's this cheap. Jonathan Taylor, 6,600 versus Houston. He scored three touchdowns his last two games. He scored 58.3 points in those 2 weeks. Indy's offense is starting to look good. Houston has given up seven rushing touchdowns in their last four, and it is, I don't believe, a coincidence that Indy's offense has looked so much better since Taylor has gotten going. I mean, that was really when their team took off last year, was when they went, okay, we're just going to make this guy the feature back. We're going to pound him. We're going to make sure he gets 20 to 30 touches a game. And he took off like a rocket. Anybody that had him last year probably did very well in season-long fantasy seasons for the playoffs. But again, what I like most about Taylor is not only that he's going to be the focal point, but he's catching passes this year, yes, which he did not do last year. He's seen at least three targets in three games this year, both the last 2 weeks. He has 14 targets in those three games that he has at least three targets. I mean, that's an average of almost five targets a game. And the Texans, that is a weakness. They give up four receptions or more in three of their five games to opposing running backs. I think Indy's going to win this game. They're going to control it, and that's just going to mean, again, Taylor's going to get a lot of chance to close the game out, which he had some really good games down the stretch last year. And at 6,600, I love that price for a guy who, don't forget, he was like 7,600 at the beginning of the season, got off to an awful start, plummeted all the way down to 6,000. He's starting to work his way back up to where he's in that sweet spot, in my opinion, of the talent and the guy you're getting with the matchup for that, you know, cost.
Yeah, when I try to always look through and make up my own, like, list of guys that I want to pick before. You're always quicker sending me your list every week.
Why do you think I do it so early? So that way I can be like, haha, it was my
pick. You have first claim. And so, yeah, when I went through this week, I was like, oh, there's two kind of higher-priced running backs that I really like. And then I read through your list, and I was like, all right, cool. Keith picked one of them. I'll just take the other. Because I fully co-signed Jonathan Taylor this week. Great matchup. And like you said, the fact that he's catching passes now, I mean, we saw how dangerous he can be last week when he gets the ball in his hands in the open field.
I'm trying to trade for him in a few season-long leagues right now, hoping that maybe I can get, you know, people to not quite understand what they have. It hurts seeing him go off against Baltimore, though, because I think I had in one league a guy pretty much convinced for pennies on the dollar.
Oh, no. Yeah, thankfully he was one of my keepers in one of my leagues, so very happy to have him on the team. A guy I wish I drafted in one of my leagues is Austin Eckler, 7,900. This is a little pricey generally, but
nah.
I I would not take McCaffrey over him. McCaffrey's first week back, and McCaffrey's going for $900 more right
now. With what Eckler's been doing with this offense this year and what he's done when he's healthy the last 3 years, yeah. I would never take McCaffrey because he's always going to be $1,200, $1,300 more.
I'm honestly not sure there's a guy, regardless of price, that I like more this week because as indestructible as Henry's been, he's facing Buffalo. Devontae Adams is going to maybe get shadowed by Jalen Johnson in that Chicago game. I guess Tyreek Hill's up there because he's got Washington. So maybe Tyreek Hill. But after that, Austin Eckler just on an absolute roll. He's topped 50 yards rushing in every game, so he is seeing consistent usage on the ground. He scored 7 touchdowns already, which was probably the main concern for anyone drafting Austin Eckler in season long. And he's topped 100 total yards in the last 4 games while averaging 6 receptions. Which, like we said, after that week 1 where he didn't catch a pass, like, this is a fluke, ignore it. That's proven to be true.
We're a very pro-Austin Eckler podcast, thinking about the last 2 years.
And Baltimore is really the ideal opponent for him. Only 5 teams have given up more scores to running backs. And while Baltimore is pretty good against running backs on the ground, they're 31st in yards allowed to running backs in the passing game.
Ooh, coming on.
So that's the perfect combination for Austin Eckler to go off this week.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever have to get me to co-sign. It's just crazy to think that you could have drafted or bought an auction 4 guys from 1 offense in 5 weeks and be like one of the happiest guys in the world. Right. Like even with Keenan Allen, which I'll get to in a little bit. There's still plenty of opportunities in this offense, and I expect big things from him ahead. I went really cheap for my middle and low tier because there's a lot of guys from like 5,400 lower that I like, and I'm starting to figure out that's the strategy. Is used to, I would, you know, I always have 2 cheap backs, you know, with like the 5,500 or lower, and then if I want a Henry or somebody, I'll throw them into my flex, but I just think it's so important to get the right receivers and have that money to spend on them, but I love Darrell Williams, 4,900 at Washington. Edward Solaire's on IR. Williams scored 7.5s in a game that Kansas City was down from the start. I expect them to have the lead in Washington. Williams is expected to be the featured back. He's a much better pass catcher than Hilaire, which I actually like that part of him in this offense. Is I think if you look when Damian Williams was in last year, it was the same deal where he would catch a lot more passes. I think Mahomes, for whatever reason, is scared to go to Edwards-Helaire passing the game. He doesn't do it much.
Which is weird considering what the thought process
exactly
was bringing him in.
But it's the same thing I said about Sony Michel, who I watched in college be like probably the best pass catching back in the NFL. He's their normal third down back, and now he's got the lead team in carries. He's going to get goal line looks, and as we've talked about, Kansas City is going to score. 4,900 for the starting back on Kansas City in a great matchup. Like, sign me up. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, we know you're going cheap here because your mid-tier is my low-tier running back with Williams. I'll just add, you know, he played 75% of the snaps after Hilaire's injury, so that's a good sign that he is the clear lead back here. Washington, the D-line is still solid against the run, but, I mean, when you just consider how often we expect Kansas City to be in scoring situations, there's a ton of opportunity to score, and while Washington's 10th in total yards allowed to running backs, only the Jags and Lions have given up more touchdowns to running backs. And they're dead last with 6 touchdowns allowed through the air to backs. So like you said, Williams is a very capable receiver in a pass-heavy offense. That's another like good matchup of a strength for Williams and his team versus Washington's weakness against backs.
We didn't think we'd have to say this much this season, but Kansas City also has been behind most of the year. At the Eagles game, which was the last game that they were up. Hilaire got a ton of carries late because they know their defense sucks. So they want to keep the opposing. I'm serious. Like, I think they figured out, like, you know, once we get a couple score game, we got to start shorting this thing. Unlike in years past when it's like, yeah, let's go. So I just think that's good for Williams too.
To get back to my actual mid-tier back, once again, I'm choosing a running back against my New York Giants. This week, I don't hate this player, so I will be happy to play him, especially since I have him in a number of season-long leagues. That's just sticking with the Darrells. Darrell Henderson, 6,000 at New York. Henderson's just been another bastion of consistency. He's gone over 80 total yards every game he's played this year. He's yet to be held under 4 yards per carry in a game this year. The Rams O-line is looking good. They're eighth in Football Outsiders adjusted line yards metric. And perfect matchup. The Giants are dead last on defense in that metric. So Giants have been horrible stopping the run. As I mean, Dallas obviously is elite at that, but man, yeah, that was brutal to watch last week. Giants 26th against running backs in fantasy. Only Seattle has allowed more total yards to running backs this season. So feel free to take Darrell Henderson, because I don't think he's kind of the matchup proof guy in that game, because I think Daniel Jones, if he starts, maybe the Giants put up enough points to where Stafford and the receivers have enough volume to go off. Henderson's good no matter how that game plays out.
I co-sign that. Henderson has been just unbelievably consistent. Like, that's why I feel confident. He's got a huge game coming, because he scored like 15 to 18 points every single week that he's played. And that's honestly kind of unlucky if you look at his yards per game. He just really hasn't scored any touchdowns. So if he has a game with one or two touchdowns, I mean, you could look at a 25, 30-point game. So I like that. My low tier, Khalil Herbert, 4,600 versus Green Bay. Do not adjust your hearing devices. I didn't know who the hell this guy was a week ago.
Virginia Tech, baby.
He is probably my favorite play this week. He was incredible in Chicago's win Sunday. He rushed 18 times for 75 yards. The combination of Williams, who was battling some injuries with Montgomery out, and the Bears deciding to run the ball while their athletic quarterback continues to kind of learn how to beat NFL defenses with his arms, which I'm telling you people, it's coming. A reminder that when Matt Nagy is not calling plays, which check me if I'm wrong, but he's not going to be calling plays again this week. Chicago running backs are averaging almost 25 points per game the last two seasons in fantasy football. And I feel like at 4,600, with the fact that he looked better as a pure runner, he should score in double digits. He did see three red zone rushes last week, and Green Bay has been their defense is getting better, but they have struggled with running backs week after week. I look at the Detroit game where they blew them out, but both Williams and Swift had decent games. I like Herbert. I don't hate Williams either. It's just Herbert's, you know, almost $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah. For people who are PFF fans, I believe, although Herbert was a sixth round pick, I believe he was the fifth ranked running back in the class per PFF. So they were high on him. And he looked good last week, like you said. So I like that as a buy low play.
Felt bad. I hate it when somebody's going nuts and I've literally never heard of him.
I mean, that's how it was when Chris Carson took those.
No, there's always examples of it. But I just feel like this, especially with what we do now, it's like I should get. So that you already got your low tier, right? So we're going on to wide receivers.
Yeah.
All right. Scary Terry McLaurin, top tier, 7,100. He's been really good on even weeks and bad on odd ones. No, that's not why I'm picking him. I mean, it is a pattern, though. In weeks 3 and 5, he faced two of the best corners in the league in Lattimore and Tre'Davious White, so he had bad games. Kansas City does not have that lockdown corner. Devontae Smith, who I actually think is sort of a similar route runner, at least from what we've seen so far, he had 7 catches for 122 yards. Ironically, Mike Williams also had 7 catches for 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. Marquise Brown had 6 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown versus defense. Stephon Diggs only saw 5 targets and still turned into 2 catches for 69 yards. And all three of the other wide receivers I mentioned who had big games saw at least 9 targets. That's the big deal. The big thing that you see similar out of Smith, Williams, and Brown was they all saw 9 targets or more. McLaurin is averaging 11 over his last 4, just under 10 for the season. So let's not act like week 1 when he got 8. He got like 4 or something. And again, Kansas City's in a must-win situation. I expect their offense to thrash and move up and down the field against this defense like you haven't seen in a long time, because Kansas City's got to have some hurt feelings. And they need to beat somebody up. I think Washington's going to be that thing. Joe was talking about it for Heinicke. If Heinicke throws it 40, 50 times, McLaurin could have 15 receptions. Seriously, he could definitely see 20 targets. And he has the speed and athleticism to put up crazy stat lines against a weak secondary. I think he's really underpriced at 7,100.
Yeah, I'm with you. I initially liked other receivers more than Terry, and then the more I looked at it, the more I'm with you that when you look at the value, I don't think there's a better option on the board. It's a great matchup. Like you said, the volume is going to be insane. Again, he saw 11 targets last week while getting shadowed by Lattimore. It wasn't productive, but he's going to get see the ball no matter what.
That means for better or worse, they're throwing to him.
Yeah, and this week, I think it's going to be for better. You got a defense that's 28th in yards allowed to number one wide receivers and 31st in explosive play rate allowed. So I love him. I will throw out just if people need any alternates. I mean, these guys are more expensive, so you know that's why I'm with you that Terry's the guy. But I think DJ Moore is going to go off against the Vikings. I don't think any of those over-the-hill corners the Vikings have are going to be able to hang with him. And then if you're playing the Monday night game, I'm still buying the Stephon Diggs stock. I think per PFF, he is the number 25 receiver in PPR this year behind Emmanuel Sanders on the same team.
I was right.
But when you look at expected points based on like air yards, targets, like what you, if you had to like project, Diggs is number 10, Sanders is number 26. So even though Diggs is 25th in PPR points right now, all the underlying metrics are saying this is still a top 10 receiver. And I have, despite having heard it multiple times, I have not memorized all of your stats about how terrible Tennessee is at giving up huge plays to wide receivers.
They're up to 16 receivers with 20-yard receptions, and now I think it's up to 8 plays of 35 yards or more.
So I absolutely love Diggs. If you're playing a Monday night lineup, get Diggs in there. I don't care what's happened the last few weeks. He's due for an explosion, and God, the Titans will help you out with that. But overall, I'm with you. Scary Terry, man. I love the Terry McLaurin Taylor Heinicke combo too, because and honestly, I mean, I'll spoil it. I like Ricky Seals Jones a lot too this week as a low tier guy. Throw all three of them in. That's a really cheap lineup that I think can be shockingly productive. And then you have a ton of money left over.
Completely co-sign. If you do want to play Josh Allen, who, again, I love, again, the Tennessee versus Allen, the way it looked against Kansas City last week. I like putting Sanders with him because then it's not quite so expensive. I think it's still under like 15 grand, or maybe it's 14 grand, actually. Or Beasley. And again, I love Diggs. I would put Diggs in a lineup, but I don't know if I could. I just don't know if I could spend that much on Allen and Diggs, especially when Diggs has not had that breakout game, but it's coming. It's what, like I said with Kyle Pitts a couple of weeks ago, it's coming. Like, it's just, they're too talented. They're going to eventually have a game where he is. And if you look at his yards per receptions the last couple of weeks, all he just needs is a few more receptions. He's going to go over 100 yards. He catches a touchdown. You know, there's his big game. I mentioned Keenan Allen earlier. He's my mid-tier, 6,400. He's still averaging 16 points per game and, more importantly, over 10 targets a game. A guy you're getting for 6,400 on arguably the best offense in the NFL, at least passing offense, with arguably the hottest quarterback, maybe sans Josh Allen, and you're getting him for 6,400. And he's averaging 16.6 points per game despite only one touchdown. You remember late last year before he kind of went on that run, I said the same thing. He's too talented. Their offense is too good. As good as Mike Williams has been, he's not going to continue to make all of these 30, 40-yard touchdown receptions, which so many of his receptions are big strikes. And as they get closer, Allen is still getting a lot of those red zone targets. Again, if you just, in his last three performances, if you just add a touchdown to it, he would have scored 25, 16.6, and 19.5. He's due to score a touchdown. Again, I think that this is going to be a track meet. And we've seen he's had weeks that he's scored. I mean, he's averaging 16.6 points per game with Williams averaging over 25 and seeing over 12 targets a game. So you got Williams seeing 12, Allen seeing 10, but you're getting Allen for 6,400. I just think he's a great value against a Ravens secondary that you can burn. And if they do play him a little bit better on defense, I think Allen becomes more valuable in games to where if the flip does get script, and let's say that this is the first game that the Chargers don't score at will, that's only better for Allen because he's more of their move the chain, short, intermediate pass guy, to where obviously Williams has become just their big play guy.
Yeah, I will say that if you're in a season-long league, try and see if your Stephon Diggs your Keenan Allen owners are disappointed right now and open to, for a trade, because these guys are too good not to end up as top. I mean, I guess Allen maybe doesn't end up a top 10 receiver, but if that happens, he's like number 12. Like, these guys are going to be productive. And they have been, but like the explosion games, they're coming.
Particularly in PPR, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's another one, another Charger we go back, long ways back on.
Yep.
Keenan Allen, PPR love, because he sees like 10 targets every week. My mid-tier is a guy who got the early hype, but I think he's going to bounce back this week. That's Brandon Cooks, 5,800 at Indianapolis. The last 2 weeks, like I said, they've been a come down for him. Only 8 receptions for 70 yards combined over the 2 games. But it's worth remembering, he's still 13th in targets among wide receivers. Only Devontae Adams has a higher target share. And only Jamar Chase has a greater percentage of his team's air yards than Cooks. So this, you know, again, it's not the best offense in the NFL. I don't think that's a secret. But he is the clear number one, like a clearer number one than just about anyone outside of Devontae Adams in his offense. And the Colts' unimpressive and banged up secondary is not the Buffalo secondary or the New England one that Cook saw the last 2 weeks where he did not go off. So, again, this is a guy we've seen put up 20 plus points before. I mean, he's done it like 3 times this year. And, I mean, Carson Wentz looked right last week, so I don't think he's going to have trouble, or Jonathan Taylor, as you mentioned, putting up points against Houston, and that just means even more opportunity for Cooks. So I like him to bounce back, and at 5,800, it's not a big risk.
And just a reminder, Davis Mills looked good last week. I actually think he may be a comparable rookie. I mean, because what I like the most about, and this is why I completely agree with Cooks, people are worried about the back-to-back targets. Do not forget that last week they played New England. What do we know Bill Belichick always does? He's going to take away your number one option. So they had, you know, that they had Cooks flagged. And if you look at the other receivers and what they were able to do, where Houston's offense looked the best it did all year, I think that's going to mean that whoever's game planning for Indy this week is going, I don't know if that's the best formula. They were really bad with Cooks being, you know, the guy getting 15 targets. And I just doubt to see you're going to see the game, same game plan again. I guess I'm going to go ahead and call him my guy. Kadarius Toney is my low tier, 5,600. Right. Make sure that he plays. Obviously, he does have some issues. Joe, what's up? Is he not getting suspended for punching a dude?
No, he is not getting suspended
for punching. Well, good for him.
Because all Dallas Cowboys, if you're a
Florida
fan,
that's considered good behavior. Well, I was going to say, I just thought it's a Florida Gator. That's considered good behavior.
Yeah, that's what we've seen. Urban Meyer. all the way back to his days.
Exactly. But if you follow me on Twitter, and I mentioned earlier, I had Toney as my favorite play last week at 4,000. That really came out after we did the podcast, unfortunately, just because I realized at that point all the Giants receivers are going to be out. But Galladay, and what did Galladay do? He's hurt, and now he's out. And, I mean, he rewarded me, 32.6 points. He caught 10 of his 13 targets. Looking like the best wide receiver on the field. Yeah, I said it, CeeDee Lamb and friggin' Amari Cooper. Hey, look. That was honestly, because I've seen both the Giants games the last 2 weeks. He is the closest thing I've seen to Tyreek Hill on a football field at wide receiver, where I see a guy that every time he touches the ball, the defense looks like, oh, shit, we better get this guy down or he's gone. A couple of the catches he made in the second half and then run after the catch with Glennon as your quarterback. And a good Cowboys
You
got to
do the work if you're getting close from Glennon, that's for sure.
It was really impressive. I'm a big fan already. I think this kid's unbelievable. I told you that, you know, before we started. I actually really liked that pick. I watched him a good bit in the SEC. But anyway, I think it's a win-win situation, whether Galladay's there, Shepard, Slayton, whatever. Because if they return, it's going to take some attention away from Toney. Which I think that's just going to help him, because we've seen he's explosive. He's going to make big plays. He doesn't need a ton of reception. I think he had like 3 for 78, his 2 weeks ago. And then if they don't play, last Sunday in the second half with Glennon at quarterback, he received 18 of Glennon's 14 throws before he was ejected. So I think that's safe to say he's going to be Glennon's top target if all those other guys aren't there. Joe made the point that, unfortunately, the Rams are probably going to have their way with the Giants' defense, but that's really good for Kadarius Toney. He's extremely underpriced. I don't care if it's Glennon. I don't care if it's Jones. I don't care who's playing beside him. I still think he's cheap enough, And again, he put up 32 points last week, so there's that kind of ceiling. Kadarius Toney, love him. Low tier play.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. And yeah, if you're worried about, if anyone is worried just about the idea of Glennon starting, Daniel Jones is so far progressing at a good rate, where about the same that Teddy Bridgewater did last week, and he was able to get cleared. So fingers crossed, Daniel Jones will be able to go. But yeah, at that price, and considering the target share that Tony saw, he's in a good spot. And also, I think the upside too is, you know, there's always the worry because Jalen Ramsey's on the other side, that if you're the clear number one wide receiver, he's shadowing you. But
he didn't go in the slot a lot still. Even
yeah,
this year.
And then Sterling Shepard should also be back. I don't know about Kenny Golladay, but he shouldn't be the lone man out there where they can just focus everything on him. My low tier, again, I'm going back to the well. This was your low tier last week. T. Higgins, 5,300 at Detroit.
He's so disrespected week after week at his price.
He is. The thing is, like, I love Jamar Chase still this week, but he's now, I think it's $1,300 or $1,400.
$6,700, yeah.
Yeah, so $1,400 more than Higgins. And obviously he should be more because he's looked incredible. But T. Higgins is good. I mean, I know 10 points probably didn't, you know, knock anyone's socks off last week, but 10 points coming back from an injury is not bad. And again, 10th straight game where he and Burrow have both finished the game where he's broken 10 points. Like, it goes all the way back to September of
he's
last
Mr.
year.
He's Mr. Consistency.
He played 70% of the snaps his first week back. That number should go up. And even missing almost a third of the snaps, he saw 7 targets. And again, another reminder, Detroit Lions do not have a cornerback ranked in the top 100 on PFF. So feel free to take any Bengals wide receiver in this game.
Or running back.
Yeah, or Joe Mixon.
I love Mixon with
a perfectly good pick, too. So there's no going wrong in this one as long as you're picking a Cincinnati Bengal.
All right, moving on to tight end. We've got both the same top tier, which actually that makes me feel good. I know that sometimes you feel bad when we do that. To me, that just means that we're on to something here. I'll do Andrews, and I'll let you start with Henry. How about that? So Andrews is our top tier, 5,200. And again, I normally stay away from any tight end that's in the top 4 or 5, most expensive one. We've been burned on Hockenson a couple of times this year. I gave Kelsey the 1 week that the dude scores 4 points. But it's just too good. I mean, he's caught at least 5 passes in 4 straight. He has 28 targets the last 3 weeks. The Chargers are coming off a game where David Njoku, this is not a joke, David Njoku, who is normally injured by the second quarter in most games, he caught all 7 targets. 7 targets, 7 receptions, 149 yards, and his touchdown. They've given up 11 points to the number one tight end in 4 of 5 and 17 or more in 3 straight. That's 17 or more fantasy points to tight ends in 3 straight. That doesn't happen. If the Ravens get down, which against the Chargers is not hard to believe, you could see another huge performance by Andrews. And I just think he's now back to where Lamar's throwing a lot more. He is their number one receiver. I'm hoping Bateman ends up playing at some point. It's only going to help their offense, help Lamar's growth. But Andrews is their number one target. I think he's actually still at 5,200. He'll probably be a flex in a few lineups for me.
Yeah, Andrews should just be in a lot of lineups. Again, I mean, third among tight ends in targets. He's just been on a roll lately. Obviously, last week was insane for him. And
especially because most of it was all late.
Yeah. And again, I mean, the upside, if you think of Andrews as just the number one target in Baltimore, you can do a combo with him and Jackson, and you're not breaking the bank.
Yep.
So I love him. Yeah, when I was scrolling through the tight ends this week, there's just a ton of tough matchups for these mid-tier guys. Hockenson's got the 4th best defense against tight ends on DraftKings this year. Dalton Schultz with New England, that's the number one tight end defense this year. And that's not an abnormal thing. I remember last year they were also elite against tight ends, so I don't think that's a fluke.
It looks like teams, too, have just decided with Hockenson, look, you're by far their best receiver. We're just going to take you away.
I don't know if Tennessee's been good against tight ends just because all the wide receivers on the other team are open, but they're 2nd against tight ends, so Dawson Knox, tough one. I do like Mike Gesicki this week, but he's playing in the early London game. So
yeah, I got him in a Thursday lineup.
So if he's eligible, I do like him a lot in the mid tier. He's productive. That's a good matchup against the bad Jacksonville defense.
I still think our mid tier is a better option.
But Hunter Henry, he's all the way down at 3,900. I think the key here is you look at those first 2 weeks. He has five receptions on seven targets. Not a lot's going on, but he's brand new to the offense. And those Miami and Jets games, the Patriots are really running the ball a lot.
Yep.
Once you get into the last 3 weeks where they've been trailing, I mean, God bless him for being able to come back against Houston. That would have been an embarrassing loss. He's seen at least five targets every week. He's eight targets last week. He's had at least four receptions. So clearly he is working his way up in the offense. I think after Jacoby Myers, he's the number one option in this offense,
especially in the red zone, which is
huge. Yeah, in the red zone, Jacoby Myers can't seem to buy a touchdown. Eventually, I'm sure he will get in, but Hunter Henry is not a guy having that problem getting in.
No.
And then, you know, again, Dallas, they're going to have to throw a lot against Dallas. We don't think that's going to change. And Dallas is 25th against tight ends. Evan Engram, despite having Mike Glennon for a half, had his best game back so far. It still wasn't a great game for him. But the point is, this Dallas defense, they do have a little bit of weakness with tight ends. As good as their linebackers are, Micah Parsons has been phenomenal rushing the passer. His coverage has been lacking. So there's going to be room for Hunter Henry in this game, and there's going to be an opportunity because, again, we think Mac Jones is probably going to throw the ball like 40 times. So,
yeah, again, he's also mine. I mean, 3,900 and 5,200. I mean, I think that's a pretty cheap play that could end up going off. I would not be shocked if Henry caught one or two touchdowns. I look to the week three when Dallas played Philly. Philly has a similar passing style attack where it's a lot of predominantly short to medium. They like to go to their tight ends. They play two tight ends, and their two tight ends had six receptions on eight targets for 119 yards and a score. So again, Mac Jones, I like what I see. I think that they have not let him open it up. I think if they would, it's only going to mean better things for, the Hunter Henrys of the world.
Yeah, and 26th Dallas is in yards allowed to tight ends. And when you throw in DVOA, so that's going to factor in more like touchdowns and stuff, Outsiders has them as the second worst on a per, like, throw basis.
Makes sense, too, right? Good corners, good pass rush. I mean, you can't be great everywhere.
Right, so. And Mac Jones, is the one thing he's been able to do is kind of consistently work the middle portion of the field. He's not throwing deep, but he's just hitting those.
I think once you put on a New England quarterback, you're just going to be at a dink and dunk. Garoppolo, right? When he was there, Matt Castle, Brady. I mean, it's automatic.
They've got it down.
My low tier tight end, Mo Alie-Cox, 3,100 versus Houston. He's seen nine targets in his last two games. He's caught three balls in both of those, and he scored 17.2 points in those 2 weeks. Earlier in the year, you had to worry about Cox fighting for targets with veteran Jack Doll. That's why, you know, people would ever ask me, I'd say stay away from both. But over the last three games, Dole has seen a combined four targets to Cox's 11. I spoke going into last week's game where I selected Hunter Henry of Houston struggle with tight ends. They are now on the season giving up 36 receptions for 394 yards and four scores to tight ends, three in the last 2 weeks. They give up almost 11 yards per reception to tight ends. And Cox is averaging just under 14 yards per reception on the year. He is a big play tight end where we've seen it in back-to-back weeks. He's only had three receptions, and he scored like 12 and 8 points. Or maybe it was, I don't know, 11 and 7, something like that. But he was around that range. He's averaging like almost 20 yards per catch the last 2 weeks. And again, I think Taylor's going to have a big game that's going to leave openings for Cox. And just Houston's so bad against the tight end. He's their, you know, the receiving option at tight end. And Wentz, again, is looking better, you know, throwing the ball on two sprained ankles. So I actually really like Mo Alie-Cox. He's a boomer bust play, obviously, because, I mean, his floor could be zero. But I do think that his ceiling is 15 to 20 points. He did it a couple of times last year.
Yeah. Mo Alie-Cox, he is the guy who every year it seems like there's three or four games where he just kind of goes off and can be a huge help to you considering he's always – super cheap.
Remember how I did with Trey Burton last year on Thursday? So
multiple times, which is the part that I still can't even figure out how you were able to predict those. It happened once. It was like, all right, that was a good call. And it was like, wait, it happened again. So yeah, if Keith's telling you pick a Colts tight end, pick a Colts tight end. So yeah, maybe ignore my guy, but I'm going Ricky Seals-Jones, 3,000. Like we told you last week he was a potential bargain play. All the way, I think he's all the way down at 2,500 last week. 9.1 points. I mean, at 2,500, I don't think anyone was upset about that.
That's a boom.
And that, keep in mind, his biggest play of the game got called back for an ineligible man downfield. So that's one of those penalties where you're like,
oh, I was pissed.
The play didn't happen because there was an ineligible man downfield. So he had the opportunity to really have a fantastic game at 2,500. Key things, 99% of the offensive snaps he was on the field for. He was off of the field for one snap. He had 8 targets. So long as Logan Thomas is out, Ricky Seals-Jones.
He's on IR.
You're looking so at. He's yeah, out. He's out for at least another 2 weeks, I believe, and it could be longer. If you're in season long and you need to pick up a waiver tight end, think about Seals-Jones.
I like it.
And again, we expect Heinicke to have to throw 40 passes because they're playing Kansas City and Washington's not stopping anybody right now. And just as a little bonus, Kansas City, 31st ranked team against tight ends on DraftKings.
Ask Dawson Knox what you can do to him.
Dead last in yards allowed to tight ends. Like, yeah, to me, if you're not going Andrews, you need to be going under 4,000, getting Henry, Seals-Jones, Allie Cox. Don't, if you're not, unless you're going up for like Kittle. There should be nothing except Andrews between 4,000 and Kittle.
Kittle's so, too expensive for.
Or not Kittle, sorry. Kelsey, I mean.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm mixing up my K tight end.
I was about to be like,
I don't think Kittle's even playing right now. I think he's hurt. But yeah.
He's on IR too.
I would ignore most of the mid-tier here. Once you go below Andrews, these cheap guys have good matchups. Like, spend the money somewhere else.
All right, moving on to flex. We'll do the flex and defense. And we only give 3 of those because we got to keep it under an hour because we get long-winded. So this is sort of the speed round part of the podcast. My high-tier flex, Joe's boy, Ja'Marr Chase, 6,700. Oh. I know he said that he went up. I don't care. He continues to impress through 5 games. He has 23 receptions for 456 yards and 5 scores. Unbelievable. I did say, though, when you said you didn't like him on the preview, I went, dude, they were pretty good together in college. What I like the most about Chase is not just that he's facing the short. That's obviously great. But he, after seeing 16 targets in his first 3 games, he's seen 19 in his last 2. He's averaging 19 yards per catch on the season. Number 1 receivers versus the Lions are averaging 6.5 receptions for 122 yards. If you're telling me Chase gets 8 to 10 targets versus this defense, I almost guarantee you 100 yards and a score, because that's what he's basically done every game against better defenses and better secondaries. I didn't know the stat that Joe gave about the top, you know, corner being all the way down in the, like, would you say the hundreds?
Yeah, they do not have a guy slated to play who's in the top 100 on PFF.
It's awful. Take them and thank me. My mid-tier breakout game, Javonte Williams, 5,000 versus the Raiders. This is solely a hunch. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. But last 2 weeks, Gordon has 18 carries for 90 yards, 6 targets. He turned into 4 receptions for 20 yards. While Williams has seen 15 carries for 109 yards, 6 targets, he's turned into 6 receptions for another 36 yards. Williams is just flat out looked at like the better running back. From what I've read, he's just as good at blocking. So I don't know what Denver's waiting on, but Gordon came into last week with rib and lower leg issues. And then he left last game with now a hip injury coming into this matchup. So he's got 3 injuries right now. They're facing a Raiders team that over the last 3 weeks has given up an average of 31 carries for 147 yards and then 4 scores in that time. I think this is the week Williams finally gets more carries. And even if he doesn't, just remember last week, Williams and Herbert combined for 34 carries and rushed for at least 64 yards each. Williams, even being the second option, has only seen 2 less red zone attempts. At 5,000, he's going to have, I think, a breakout game. But again, even if not, he just gets what he's going to. Denver's going to run the ball more in this game. They are. They would be stupid not to. And then finally, my low tier, Josh Flash Gordon, yes, I'm going there, 3,400 at Washington. Gordon only saw one target, had one catch, 11 yards in his first action in several years. He was expected to play 20 snaps, but only saw 8 because they were forced to run the hurry up almost the entire game, and he was not prepared for that. He's going to play more. Like, he just is. He's going to get at least 20 because they told you that. I think with another week, he's going to get even more snaps than this. I like taking a flyer at 3,400. Over the last three games, Washington secondary, giving up 4 passing touchdowns per game. In the last 3 games, they have given up receptions of 72, 49, 32, 42, and 41 yards. With a team giving up that many touchdowns through the air and all those big plays, Gordon has the talent to turn 20 snaps into more than enough points at 3,400. And, I mean, he could reach 20 points. We've seen – I know it's been a long time, and that's very valid, but Josh Gordon has the ability to go crazy. I just think this is going to be a high-scoring game. And, again, at 3,400, even if he only gets 20 snaps, I'll take my chances. He could turn into, you know, 2 grass ready yards and a touchdown. I'm perfectly happy. 2 catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. I'm happy. I mean, it's $3,400. Josh Flash Gordon's my low tier.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on Javonte Williams. I think that's just a matter of time. Josh Gordon, I have no idea, but like you said, you're not risking a whole lot. Defenses, I'll be honest, defenses this week, I think so. The value is very much in the like mid-tier.
Yep.
The Rams are the only ones over 4,000. Obviously, if it's Glennon, sure. Like, if you want to spend the money on a defense, go for it.
I don't know. Rams haven't impressed me enough on defense.
If it's Daniel Jones, to me, that's not worth the risk of spending $4,700. Honestly, the highest tier team I kind of like ended up being the Colts at $3,500. Mm-hmm. This one's pretty simple. They've forced 9 turnovers through the 5 games. They're playing Davis Mills. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Look who they played. They've played some really good offenses. They've had a brutal schedule. I still like Indy to win that division.
Yeah, I mean, it's Seattle, the Rams, and Titans, and Ravens. They obviously had the one game against Miami. Otherwise, it's been a brutal slate. I think that defense is a little bit better than they've shown. And again, they're forcing turnovers still. And they're facing a guy who, outside of last week, has been pretty prone to turning the ball over. And it is in Indy. I think anytime you get the rookie QBs on the road, you got to feel good. My favorite one, because I think people are kind of, you got to remember how defenses score, especially in DraftKings, where DraftKings doesn't care as much about, I don't even know if they factor in yardage. And then, yeah, they don't factor in yardage.
It's points and then points, sacks, turnovers.
As long as you don't get murdered in points, if you're getting sacks and turnovers, it's not going to matter. I love Buffalo, 2,900 against Tennessee. Because here's the thing. The only team taking sacks at a higher rate than Ryan Tannehill is the Bears QBs. That's it. Tannehill's taking sacks like a madman back there. And so now you're giving me a Buffalo defense that just has waves of edge rushers. They've got corners who are ready and safeties who are ready to take the ball away from Tannehill. I love this one, especially because I think Buffalo's going to put up so many points that you're going to get some desperate Tannehill stuff, and that just means better opportunities for sacks and picks. I think also you can look around in there. Dallas at 3,200, not a bad play against New England. I think, again, Minnesota and Carolina are, like you said, that could be an offensive game, but I think there's going to be turnovers in that game. I really, low tier is fucking rough. If you're playing the Sunday,
you went where I actually have in the lineup that I needed a cheap one.
The Sunday morning game was kind of the best one just because I think both of those offenses are terrible. But if you're not playing that London game, the lowest I feel remotely good about recommending is Seattle. And that's basically because they haven't had a negative game this year and they're facing Ben Roethlisberger. And I think last week against Denver was like one of the 2 or 3 fluke games that Roethlisberger will have this year. I still think he's awful. And so
we're
I think
on the extended Ben Roethlisberger NFL career funeral tour at this point.
Yes. So wait, who's your low tier that you've put into a
lineup? Oh, I'm sorry. You originally sent them. It's the Jacksonville Jags.
Okay, yeah. Like I said, if you've got that Sunday morning game, I think that the Jags are a solid play at the low tier. But if you're playing the normal Sunday slate, it's rough going.
I love the people who wrote, well, you know, Tua could come back. That's not making me change my pick.
No.
From the Jags. It's like in some ways I may feel more confident because you can't get big plays, which has been the big issue for the Jaguars. So those are our week 6 picks. We really appreciate, again, everybody's support. I love Dalton. Thank you for continuing to send us all those winners you've gotten with our picks. That makes us feel good. Again, if you're not in the IB Sports Group, you need to join that. Facebook, Instagram, yeah. Twitter. And please support the podcast network. That's the IB Sports Podcast Network, iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. And for me, Keith Fleming, and Joe Matz, big Austin Eckler, and
right.
Keenan Allen guys. We're going to have to all we'll in come on the up with a list of all of our guys, because we do have a lot of guys. You know, I haven't mentioned Pat Freiermuth in a few weeks, who we know has already been adopted by me. So, but that was been the week 6 picks. We'll see you guys next week. Good luck.